Acts chapter 20, please. Acts chapter 20. All right, let's all stand together, please. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. We'll begin reading in verse 6. So that was Liam over here, the masked man. Okay. All right, and he doesn't listen to you either, sister, is that correct? No, Liam is perfect, I know. Verse 6. Okay. Luke is included in this passage. If you remember, when you read the book of Acts, there most of the entire early part of the book of Acts, Luke wasn't there. You're going to pick up, and you'll see it when you read. All of a sudden, you'll come across we. Luke is now part of the narrative. He's part of the story. And once you get into this section of the story, he comes and goes a couple of times. Sometimes he's with Paul, sometimes he's not. You have to pay attention to those little pronoun things. So in this case, Luke's with Paul. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, the way this is written in Greek is for the purpose of. Otherwise, you're understanding. The disciples came together on the first day of the week, which is which day? The Lord's Day. And they came there with the purpose of, one of them was the Lord's Supper. Remember, the breaking of bread is different than the eating of bread. When you see the little word break in Acts, most of the time it means the Lord's Supper. So when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until 7 p.m. That's when we're getting done tonight. How did you know that? How do you know Paul was a Baptist? Right here. Verse 8. And there were many lights. And by the way, friends, I don't know where the story is. I know what the book it's in. Spurgeon has the funniest story I have ever read. He had a way of telling stories third person that were about himself. In a church building that he was in, they didn't have enough oxygen flow. And the longer you were there, the less oxygen you had. And after a while, people. And there were some windows. And he tells a funny story that somehow one night those windows just got broken out. Because just wanted the oxygen flow. Well, you know, you're in a situation where you're up high. And if the heat rises after a point, there's not a lot of oxygen. So it says there were many lights. Do not think of these nice lights that we have. Think what? Olive oil. No candles. No candles, and that's 1,000 years later. Olive oil lamps of some variety. So you have smoke, you have heat, and you're getting real comfy in your chair. Judah, I can see it now. You got your blanket, you got your cookies, you got your feet up, and Paul is preaching. Here it goes. There were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus. I just like this. He's fallen into a deep sleep. Folks, this is in Tagalog, this is not Tulog Manok, this is Tulog Mantika. This guy is unconscious. And as the people were long, as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down, fell on him, and embraced him, and said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. Wherefore he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. I'm not going to preach on the whole story. We're just going to look at the beginning of this tonight. Now, I will be done by 7. This is a simple sermon. This is a transition sermon. Are you all ready? We started out disciplines of grace. I talked about starting well, running well, ending well. I then talked about 3 or 4 weeks on the Bible, studying the Bible, reading the Bible, meditating. Do I think everybody in this church does that? Do you realize we've had folks that haven't been in this church a single sermon of this? Why? I have no idea. By the way, they're your friends too. Our church needs to be engaged. Then you step beyond that, it's on your knees. We follow the Lord's Prayer. You know, we have a pattern. We have this perseverance thing. And we have a presupposition that He wants to answer our prayers. We also talked about the Holy Spirit. We talked about using all kinds of prayer. And last Sunday night, I think we talked about the Psalms. Tonight we transition. Tonight's easy. You don't have to do anything when you leave here. Nothing. All we're going to talk about is the simplicity of worship. We're now moving to what we do with the body. These are disciplines too. I won't yell at you. Not at all. Did I yell at you this morning? I was rough this morning. I missed something. I need to say this before we pray. I meant to put it in there. We have folks in our church struggling with their children. You rear your children and they become stupid. Jenny, did we have good seniors in St. Louis? I would say it was the best group of old people I've ever met as a group. But only 2 or 3 of the families had good children. Funny part was, who had the best children? Ray Brown. Ray Brown was twice married. His first wife died of heart disease. His second wife died later of cancer. She's the one that we knew. All of his children were in a Bible-believing churches. And his oldest son is in Kirk's church right now. Isn't that crazy? The associate pastor in St. Louis. Friend, we have people right now struggling with their children. Are you aware of that? Have you been praying for people? Serious matters. There's a lot of stuff we face. I preached my heart out this morning because there's a lot of stuff that can go wrong. Man, oh man. All right. Tonight, just with the body, we're going to talk about the simplicity of gathered corporate worship. Father, I thank you for the beauty of what we do together. It's simple. We don't do anything that requires hardly anything outside of a Bible and some hymns. We can do it with a piano, without a piano, with a guitar, without a guitar. We can do it without musical instruments. We can sing even when we can't sing on tune. The things that we do for gathered corporate worship are simple things, but yet so profound and so beautiful. Help me to be a blessing to everyone here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The older I get, the more stories I have. And my daughter says, yes, about her, but tonight it's not about her. I've had the privilege of doing something that some of you have done. I've had the privilege of worshiping in different parts of the world. It's interesting. It's one thing, by the way. Listen, if I had the privilege of going to Mexico. This will be my first story. I've been in several areas there. I had the privilege of worshiping in a big church in San Luis Potosí, preaching at the church. I had the privilege in one day, we drove north about an hour to, I guess you would call it, a crossroads town where truckers came. So not a good town and not good activities, but they'd started a little mission church there. I didn't get to go to church there, but I got to go and meet the lady, and her husband was working, the lady and the children and the guy I was with, the missionary. We met the carekeeper of the building. We then drove further north. It was my first experience. By the way, the only time I've ever seen it. We're driving down the road, and on both sides of the road, there is something, it's actually kind of like this, with the exception that it's about this wide, and it's a little bit taller, maybe right here, maybe even here. It's made of scrub wood, you know, that they have gotten from the kind of the desert. It's a desert area, and as I drove, you would see one about every half a mile, and there would be, and I'm going to date myself, you have to be as old as Frenchie. Back in the 60s, there used to be these things you could buy and unroll that were sticky that would catch flies. And I would see these things standing there, and there were these little strips hanging. And for the first time, I'm thinking, why would you have fly catchers out in the middle? Anybody know? Every half mile. And there would just be, like I say, just this. And there would be 10 or 15, and then another half a mile. On both sides, there'd be another half a mile. Then there would be something hanging. After a while, the guy I was with knew what they were. Anybody? Rattlesnake skins. And I'm like, what? What do you do with rattlesnake skins? He says, some people take them and they sell them. Obviously, that's what they were there for. And they just went on for miles. There, by the way, there's that many rattlesnakes in the desert. Well, anyhow, that's not the point of the story. But the point of the story is we drove on a little farther. And he said, we have another mission church. One of our young men that comes to our little Bible college got saved. And he was from this little town. Now, folks, the town we just came through was small, but typical. You know, it was a town. You could buy a soda. You could get gas. He said, this town is out in the desert. So I'm thinking, we're already in the desert. So we just drive up here, and he says, there's really no road there. That scares me. He just turned his four-wheel drive off into the desert and headed a direction. In the sand in the desert was fine. It was rough, but it was fine. We drove and drove just 2 or 3 miles. Got into the desert, and there was a small little town. And I still remember the name, San Juan Sinagua, St. John Without Water. That was the name of the place. And it was all surrounded by those same stakes. And they had built a fence around the little town, you know, in pieces. Might have been 100 people, maybe. We drove into the town, pulled into a little place, you know, where you park your car or truck, and it was his truck, our four-wheel drive. Pull in there, and there's a little church building they had built. And there's a little abuelita, a little grandma. She comes out with a smile this big. Now, folks, I'm talking to you about worship. Do you understand worship? Here's a lady that I have never met since. I'll meet one day in heaven. She had been saved. She was so excited because she had some property they could build their little church on. She took me in the missionary. We went back to the little church building, walked into the church building. And, folks, here's our problem. There are people that won't come here because this is a gym. This was a plain room, one light bulb hanging down, and there were chickens loose in the service. And it was to this day one of the sweetest days I've ever had in a church. Do you know why? Whether you're here or in the middle of Mexico or with 400 black African pastors in Kenya preaching to them and hearing them sing, which is wonderful, or whether you're in Romania with Romanians, which, by the way, it's hard when they're preaching. First sermon I heard in Romania was, we had flown over, we got there Sunday morning, and Dr. Yarbrough says, we're going to church. It's like we just flew all night and drove for 4 hours. We went to church, and as we got into the church, you've been to the big church. It's like a toilet bowl effect. You start high and you go down low. And we were the honored guests. They put us right up in the front row. And we're exhausted. And the pastor, Paul Negrutz, is preaching on the Trinity. And the guy did not know how to translate 3/4 of the words. Because it's the Trinity, big theological words. And I'm trying to survive. I look over at, I'm not going to tell you whether Dr. Yarbrough was sleeping, but for me, I was praying. Well, by the way, we went to church Sunday night. It was different than here. Men on one side, women on the other. They have those, you know, those horn bands they have. I loved it. I love being there. Look at me, friend. I've preached, and forget my preaching. I have been able to experience worship all over the world. You say, where is it worst? India. Because in Romania, you can still understand some words. You know what you understand when they're speaking Ezra and Satish's language? Nothing. You don't know one word. If you speak in Spanish, I'll know where you turn in the Bible at least. if you speak in Tagalog, I listen to my friends speak in Tagalog. I know where to go in the Bible. I don't have, I'm like, they could be saying bad things about me. I wouldn't know it. But friend, even my time in India, just hearing folks sing, praying with people. Yes. Are y'all with me? This is with the body. We're no longer in the book, and we're no longer on our knees. There are disciplines with the body. They're not hard. They're obvious. And most of this is going to be point number one, and most of this is going to be just for you to know. In your notes, here's what we're talking about. Gathering together with the body. Notice what it says. And there's a unique word. Everyone in this room has heard the word synagogue. Well, synagogue means a gathering. The verb, synagoge, is the verbal form, to gather together. And in every one of these texts in Acts, it talks about gathering together using the verbal form of synagogue. It says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples, and we have that gathering together, gathered together or came together. In verse 8, it says, and there were many lights in the upper chamber when they gathered together. That's that gathering. Gathering together is one of the disciplines. We must come together. It doesn't have to just be on the Lord's Day, but it's always on the Lord's Day. It can be on other days too. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were, and the King James says assembled together, but it's the same basic word, same root word. Acts 11:26, and when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. And that is almost like they synagogued the church. They gathered the church together is the idea. 14:27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, and for some reason I didn't put the word there, but that word is there, gathered the church together there. Same word. Acts 15:6 says, and when the elders came, the apostles and elders came together. 15 verse 30 says, and when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered this epistle. So friend, what is the first discipline with the body? It's simply gathered worship, but you got to gather together first. Now, no preaching to you. Everybody already knows. When COVID happened, good things have happened. For some of you, and by the way, we're not talking about it publicly, correct? Everybody that was here on Wednesday night. Frenchie, do you remember what we were talking about Wednesday night? For the rest of you, I'm sorry, I can't tell you. I cannot. It needs to come out organically from the person. But COVID has had one phenomenal result in this church. One phenomenal result. How's it done for the rest of the church? Be honest. How's it done? We have people that aren't here most of the time. Why? I don't know. Is it COVID? I don't think COVID's changed anything. Friends, you cannot be a church unless you gather together. That's what church does. No preaching, just factual. In your notes, just several ideas are stated in Acts 20, verse 7 and 8, without trying to prove anything. First of all, the disciples came together. It just states it. It's not trying to prove anything. My son-in-law is weird. Now, Jared is weird in lots of ways. He's not weird as a father. He is a, I'll tell you what, my son and now Jared is much better dad than I ever was. He does more with Jesse in a week than I did in a year with my kids. That's just a fact. But he's weird when it comes to, I need to get some water. Where did my water go? Here? I didn't bring it. You say, how's he weird? He likes soccer. Actually, he doesn't like soccer. He likes what? And what's the name of that team? Look at me, friend. You know what it means to be a Christian? Christians gather together. And I'm going to say this to you kindly. And people who say they're Christians don't gather together. Christians just get, it's just what you do. So I've done it since I was a kid. That doesn't mean if you're not here, a service, nothing, that's fine. I'm just saying in general, Christians come together. That's what we do. That's what the disciples did. Next, the disciples came together for specific purposes. Their purpose was to worship God, hear the word preached, and all those things. Next, look at this. When you want water, you have my favorite guy. Come over here. my favorite Big B. Thank you there, buddy. Next, the disciples just gathered together. I asked the question, what else would they do? Non-disciples have no such need or desire or habit. You say, how do I know that Jared likes Liverpool? He has stuff every place I look. Now, honestly, Liverpool, to me, what's their arch enemy? Do you know the difference? Now, that's a blasphemy to him. By the way, do you know that Christians gather together? And Manchester United fans hate Liverpool fans. I don't even know the difference between... Isn't Manchester and Liverpool close together even in England? Oh my goodness, we better move on. We'll have a fight right here in church. Manchester United and Liverpool. In your notes, the disciples came together on the Lord's Day. And friends, since the first beginning of the church in Acts 2, ever since then, the disciples come together on the first day of the week. I'm going to say this again in a moment, but friends, this is a simple thing. But you're going to run into somebody that says, no, 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 you're supposed to go to church on the Sabbath day. Here's the problem. The church, from the first day, gathered together on the day of the resurrection. Nothing wrong with the Sabbath. By the way, look at me. Paul went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, but for something different. We'll get to that in a moment. Let's continue. You can read those verses. It's Matthew 28, talks about the resurrection, first day of the week. Mark 16, 2, first day of the week. Luke 24, first day of the week. John 20, verse 1, first day of the week. So when the disciples gathered together on the first day of the week, they're gathering together on the first day of the week. Why? Because it's the Lord's day. That's the whole point. Next, this day, the disciples must gather together. It's just what you have to do, because in Revelation 1:10, it even very clearly says it is the Lord's day. It's not just the day of the Lord, it's the Lord's day, very uniquely fashioned. It's what we do. It's even when we give. We go on from that. Now, here's something that I ran into this, so I just put this out here for you. Paul and the other first century believers evangelized on the Sabbath in the synagogue. But friends, the disciples did not go to the synagogue to worship. They went to the synagogue, look at me, in the first century, because in the first century, they would allow believers like Paul to go into the synagogue. They would allow Paul to read the scripture. They would allow Paul to, if I can say it, preach. Many of his sermons in the book of Acts transpired in synagogues. So they evangelized, but when they came together, hear me, when they came together as disciples, they did it on the first day of the week. When they evangelized, because they could, they did it on Sabbath in the synagogue. Now, could I do this in a synagogue today? The answer is no. This has not happened since the first century. Even by the end of the first century, this didn't happen anymore. By the way, by the end of AD 70 and the fall of Jerusalem, that was over, that whole thing. Look, if you would, though, we'll just read them quickly. Acts 13, 14, when they were departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia. As I've said many times, every little province had a city called Antioch, named after Antiochus in the whole, and that family in the eastern part of the world, of Asia. And it says, they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue said unto them, you men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation, that is kind of a Hebrewism for if you have something like a sermon, go for it. Preach, say on. Chapter 14, verse 1. And it came to pass at Iconium, they went both together in the synagogue of the Jews and so spake. But in every occasion, they don't go to the synagogue to worship. They go to the synagogue to share Christ as the fulfillment of the Jewish scripture. Acts 17, verse 1. Now when they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ, the Messiah, must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, this man, you know, Jesus, the man of history that walked the streets and was crucified, he, this Jesus, is the Messiah, the Christos, the Christ. 17, verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. It's just repeated over and over and over. 17, verse 6. Now it gets different. By the way, friend, how do we witness? I said this morning in Sunday school, we have less religious freedom in America than we've ever had. Can I have an amen? We don't even realize it. Where can you really evangelize? You can only evangelize privately today and personally. Can you go to the mall? What if you went to the mall and passed out tracts? What would happen within minutes? There would be a security guard there, and if you didn't listen to him, the police would be there. And there's a lot of reasons. People don't like to be bothered in America. But my point is, what did Paul do? By the way, Paul went wherever he could. In that day, he could go into the synagogue and he could talk to 2 to 3 groups of people. He could talk to the Jewish people, that there were Jewish in the diaspora, people scattered all over the Mediterranean world that had a synagogue. He could also talk to they had various names, God-fearers, worshipers of God. They would be Gentiles that were not really totally Jewish. There was also a very small group of proselytes, Gentiles who had became Jewish all the way, but most of them didn't. They were outskirts. So he would go to the synagogues, but in Athens, he also went some other place. So let's look at 17. I love this passage, one of my favorites. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed, and dispute is a word that it's reasoning, folks. It's not, if we think of dispute, how about this? If I say arguments, what do you think about an argument? But a lawyer does an oral argument. We're not talking yelling at each other. We're talking what? Logical, reasonable discourse to prove a point. Disputing is the same word. Unfortunately, it sounds, he wasn't yelling at people. He wasn't in their face. But he disputed in the sense that he carried on a conversation in what? In tain synagogue, in the synagogue, with the Jews, Jewish people, that would have been part of the diaspora, Greek-speaking, and with, this passage says, the devout people, persons. Those are the many Gentiles that in the first century and early second century, it actually started in the first century B.C., they joined themselves to the synagogue to hear the Bible. He talked to that group. And then in verse 17, and he also went into, I love this word, the agora, the market. Now the market, friend, hey, wasn't the Jewish people, and it wasn't the God-fearers, it was who? Common person. They went into the markets. We still have places that you can do this. There are places in lots of countries, they have big wet markets, or they have, what do you call it, farmers markets, but not the kind we have with, you know, 8 booths. I'm talking about massive places where people bring produce, and you can see as far as you can, and people eat there, and they play there, and they buy there, and they bring stuff there. You can set up a little booth. We have missionaries that do this, and they can talk to people. So Paul evangelized in the synagogues on Saturday, on Sabbath day, but he didn't worship there. Worship is what you do with the disciples on the Lord's day. Different, very different. All right, number 2. Well, the second part of worship is simply praying together. We do it with the body. This is the harder part to do, but I do like it. Even before the church officially became the church, just right before it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Ezra said something to me that I have to affirm. I don't want to affirm it. He says, Pastor Warren, educationally, this church is light years ahead of any church he's ever seen in India. But the people of India know how to pray. I watch people pray on a floor like this, old women sitting on a hard floor all night. And they did it for 7 nights in a row. You say, are you that person? No. We learn things here that no church learns. Praying together is a big issue. We do it with the body. It's not just individually. You got to do it with the body. Turn the page. This is a verse I memorized years ago. I love the verse. After James was beheaded by Herod Agrippa I, they put Peter in prison. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But I love this. I love every line, but prayer was made. Prayer was made without ceasing of, we would say, by the church today. So prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for him. To me, that's the nature of prayer. Gathering together and praying together and asking God for certain results. So my thoughts are simply this. This was done as a body praying. It's done, that's the second one, as a body. That's where it starts. We do this together as a body. The first line is all are praying, not just one person. So let me say this. Tonight, if Dada closes the service in prayer, look at me, he should not be the only person praying. He's leading in prayer. Have you ever caught me saying that over and over? We can all pray at the same time, but it sounds jumbled. He leads us in prayer. We follow along with his prayer. And when we say amen at the end, it's because his prayer is our prayer. We're praying together. In your notes, all are praying. We do it as a body. Some, 1, 2, 3, 4, whoever, lead in prayer. Yes. It's always best to have someone lead and the others follow along and say amen at the end. And we do so with one accord. Next, singing together. The simplicity of corporate worship. Now, I was picking on Linda this morning. They normally watch the service, so if Linda's watching, she'll know. Is Linda a great singer? No. Am I a good singer? No. I like to hear myself sing. Only when something is loud and I can't really hear myself. You know, I can turn up a song real loud and I sing perfectly. But you guys going, I used to love you, sister. You're breaking my heart. I thought I was a good singer. Look at me, friend. How good of a singer you are makes no difference. It's singing what? Together. With the body. That's what we do. I still think some of my favorite singers in this church were Mr. Losey and Mr. Smith. For you that remember, Mr. Smith couldn't even hear if he could sing. But that old geezer would come in here, pick up his hymn book, smile this big, and sing. I don't know if it was good, and he couldn't hear himself, but he liked singing. I love it. I just love to watch people sing, especially God's people. It's a beautiful thing. In your notes, we won't read the verses. We'll just read Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves. By the way, that's not to yourself. Yourselves, plural. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody. And making melody comes from the same word as psalms. It's the verbal form. It might refer to plucking on, you know, some sort of a musical instrument in your heart, but not so much to yourself, but from the heart. It begins within us, and it's done to the Lord. It's just some simple thoughts in your notes. Christians sing. I just think that's what Christians do. I would say this, a real Christian, you can't keep from singing. You say, do you ever sing? I don't sing because I don't know how to start a melody. I have no musical ability. My son irritates me to death. He can say, he starts, it's like, how do you know what that note is? How do you know those things? But I can tell you one thing, I want to sing. I have some songs. Tim, you're going to sing one soon, is that right? The Reformation hymn, is that going to be in the next, my lifetime? Sometime? I came across a great hymn. If you don't have it, I'll share it with you. Oh, my goodness, I love this song. I love the theology. I listen to that guy and sing with him all the time. I just love that song. I also have Pastor Kowak's favorite song, the worship song. Have you seen it? Ooh, okay, Tim, I got you on that one, brother. In your notes, Christians, Christians sing. Christians sing together. Then I simply state, first Christians sang. The first Christians sang the Psalms. What else were they singing, folks? At the very beginning, they only had the Old Testament Psalms. Christians then wrote hymns to sing. We have several elements of that in the New Testament. 1 Timothy 3, Philippians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 1, where you realize this are hymns or hymnic fragments. And I conclude by simply saying Christians sing. In my lifetime of 63 years, I've had a lot of good experiences with music. I've heard some bad music. What's my worst music? Trinity Baptist Church in Rockville, Maryland had a terrible song leader, and nobody could sing, and the organist couldn't play on tune. It was bad. But it might not have been as bad as Victory Baptist Church in Beaufort, South Carolina, with a gunny sergeant leading the singing. And I've told the story. It's the honest truth. Yes, my daughter knows the story. The guy couldn't. Folks, we had a choir. I was in the choir. Do you understand how bad that is? I was in the choir, and the choir director just tried to get us to sing on tune, not parts. I'm talking about the choir. Just tried to get, and we couldn't even do that. But that old gunny sergeant would walk up, and he led the singing with one finger. And he was one of those old boys from Vietnam that ate nails for breakfast. You sang. Now, hold on. I've said it before. This isn't my favorite song. But in my lifetime, there's been a half a dozen songs like this that at that moment, first time I ever heard Victory in Jesus. I can still remember the service I was in. I can still remember the service I was in Bible college when I heard the song, "Be Still My Soul, the Lord is on your side." Wow. We sing. Worship is not tough, folks. You don't have to have special oil. You don't have to have candles. You don't have to have robes. You can do it. I've been in all kinds of churches. Jenny and I went to a church of all places in Moab, Utah. Do you know where Moab, Jim, have you guys been to Moab, Utah? Moab, Utah is down in I think it's next to a place called Hades, okay? I mean, you go down, and you're way down in the crease. I mean, it's hot down there. We went to a church. The songs were terrible, but the people loved God, loved singing. We sang along with some very difficult, terrible music. It wasn't compromised music. It was just not our style, but it was nice to be there in Moab, Utah. We'll move on. What else do we do? Reading and preaching the Word of God together. With the body. I hated when I had to preach to a camera. You say, is it hard to preach to a camera? I'd rather look at people most of the time. Now, if you're unconscious, I don't look at you. Don't have anybody unconscious tonight. Every once in a while, Atong over there will do, and then I'll realize he doesn't like what I said, but he's listening. Don't look at Atong. He hasn't done this. I'm making this up. Something we do together, of course. Paul did it until midnight, and I got about 4 minutes, and I got to get done before 7. So, friends, preaching the word, reading the word, Revelation 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth. That's one of the messengers that took one of those so-called angels, a messenger, an angelos, that took the copy of the book of Revelation to the city of Ephesus, and one took it to Sardis, and one took it to Thyatira, and they took those copies, and when they got there, that individual messenger did what a messenger does. An angelos delivers the message. They read. So blessed is he that readeth, and they, the congregation that hear the words of this prophecy, and implied in the, obviously in Greek it is there, and they that keep those things which are written. What else do we do? Observing the ordinances together with the body. They had the Lord's Supper that day, of course. Acts chapter 2, that's how it all begins. They that gladly received his word were baptized. Not only did they baptize, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread. I mean, friends, we do this together. And lastly, giving together. Yes, with the body. Everyone look at me. We mentioned this morning this lady that's being nominated for Supreme Court. I don't know the lady. I have no personal insight. Did she do a commendable thing when she and her husband took of their own money? Hey, their own money and adopted two children. What do you think? That's not small potatoes. That's a lifetime commitment to two children who are not your own. That's a big thing. Do you remember what this church has done? Probably not. I don't remember. We'd have to go through the records upstairs. Do you know how many tens of thousands of dollars we have helped Pastor Franco with since the earthquake in 2010? Why? Same reason. They help orphans. Amy has raised all kinds of clothes and stuff. We've sent them down. I'm sure Rhonda's been behind things because she's always doing things nobody knows about. We've sent school supplies. We're always sending stuff. Why? Oh, by the way, when you do these things together, then you rejoice together. Tell you a secret. Didn't happen in the church, but it happened because of this church. I don't know the year. The only person that might know would be Pam. Jacob Celli came to this church back in the 70s. He came here and got an okay reception in the sense of Pastor Hill wasn't really into missions much. So Jacob Celli came. My Bible study that I ran on the base, that I ran every day for an hour, which had a bunch of guys in this church, Dan Pacheco, Jim DeWar, Craig Bushow, Frank Pasalacqua, there were four or five other guys, Mark Mills. We got together, this was in the 70s or early 80s, right at that period of time. We gave an offering that night. We went down on the base, and that little Bible study got together, and we said, let's give some money of our own to be a blessing to Dr. Celli. I talked to one of those people that was present at that time. He brought it up to me. It's been 40 years. He still remembers the blessing. We got together $250 to $270 back in the 70s for Jacob Celli, and we did it together. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you remember what you ate 3 weeks ago? No. Do you remember how you've helped? I still remember right up on the back up here, Mr. Akinji coming to me saying, Pastor, we're going to build a church in my hometown. We can build the building. And by the way, when he said we can make the bricks, I didn't know people could make bricks. I don't make bricks. They do in the Philippines too. He says we can make the bricks, but we can't afford the metal. Our church put the roof on that place. Some of you old people remember that. Not only we put the roof on that thing, there was money left over. We put windows in that place and doors. Every time I look at that plaque right back there on the wall, I think of Mr. Genji coming to me thinking we wanted to be involved. Look at me, friend. Hey. Worship is simple. It's this. It's what we do together. That's the reason we come together. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the privilege of giving. Wow, all the offerings. Thinking about helping our friends in Russia with Vacation Bible School. And when they go to that little island and build the whole place and have to do it every year. What a privilege. Or helping our friends in Zambia with his house, are helping with books in Kenya, are helping with books this year, we hopefully will get there soon, in the Philippines, are bringing Kindles to the Philippines and to West Africa. There's no greater joy. It's what we do with the body. Thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen.